Welcome back to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the mega city metropolis of Toronto. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and with me tonight is everybody's favorite co-host, the wonderful, the magnificent, the superb, the dark knight of podcasting herself, Lady J. Say hello to all your people, Lady J. Oh, you're waiting for the music. Okay, sorry.
Hello. Oh, hello.
You waited for the music to
of
stop.
Of course. It had to be, it's very regal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm donning the Batman Snuggie right now.
With your arms through the sleeves and everything.
It's very ideal.
You're in the zone.
I came correct.
You came prepared, you came correct. Of course, we also have to introduce the Cave of Solitude mascot, Kobe. The dog is in the house walking around the table with her Kylo Ren as she kills it and squeaks. So if you hear the pitter-patter and the squeaking, it's Kobe joining us as well.
I have a question.
Yes.
I don't hear my voice in here. Is that normal now?
No, it's not. I'm not sure why that's happening, but...
How do I know it's working?
It's working.
Are you sure?
Do you want me to check real quick?
Check real quick.
All right.
Well, it's working.
All right. We good to go? We feel comfortable?
I guess.
You got your Snuggie?
Got my Snuggie, got my headphones, got my wine.
Ooh, you got wine as well.
Mm-hmm.
You got your notes, your doodler.
My doodler.
Daff J, behind the scenes, we're breaking the wall here. Daff J likes to doodle and color as she gets into the podcasting zone.
Like one of my heroes, Malcolm X.
Oh, that's right.
He was a doodler.
That's funny. You said one of your heroes.
Yeah.
You're not militant. You make it seem like you're a black militant Nation of Islam member.
But he is one of my heroes.
You admire him. Would you really say he's a hero?
Yeah.
Yeah? Fair enough. Hey, yes. Who am I to tell you that?
I think so.
Yeah? I love it. I think that's hilarious. One of my heroes, Malcolm X. All right, Daff J., let's get into business here. So, most of you who are listening to this show tuned in because you saw that this is it's titled Cave of Solitude. Maybe you're a loyal listener, but if you've been attracted by the name of the show and that it's a comic book podcast, obviously we're heavily inspired by the Batcave, Batman, as well as the Fortress of Solitude, Superman. So it's only fitting that me and you revisit the DC Extended Universe as they release their, what would be the appropriate word for this film? Not the coup de grace, but their, you like that. I know you like fancy phrases. This is their answer to the Avengers, the Justice League, the original super team of heroes, right?
This is their,
tour de force. Of superheroes.
Gonna say rap battle, but okay.
The rap battle? Bring it back. Tell me your rap battle. What is it?
Tour de War, sure. Whatever you want. I don't know.
No, what's the rap battle you were gonna compare it to? Tell me. I'm interested now. I wanna know.
You know, like a Jay-Z and Nas kind of thing.
You always gotta go back to that.
Well.
Yeah.
You know.
So who?
Because there's never a definite answer, right? There's those hardcore Marvel, there's the hardcore DC.
Yeah.
But there's never a right answer.
True, you're right.
And I think Jay-Z and Nas is kind of like that. Although I've picked my side a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You want to remind us who that is, or it's not? That's another show.
That's
another show. All right. Fair enough. So, yes, November 17th, Justice League was released to the world. The next addition to the DC Extended Universe film, we went to see it. We're going to get into it. We are going to spoil it. If you listen to our BVS episode, you will hear us complain for about 2 hours. It's quite funny, actually. I mean, I'm sure you've heard a lot of people complain about that movie, and some people do love it. But this time around, let's see if our last theater event for the DC Extended Universe was a positive one with Wonder Woman. So we're on a high note here.
Okay. Okay.
Let's see if they continued the upward trend mm-hmm. for their movies.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to ask you, what was your anticipation for this movie going into it?
Disappointment.
You were already...
I don't want to jump the gun. I wasn't expecting anything positive.
Okay, so
Did I just say the same thing twice?
No.
Can you ask me that question again?
What was going into this film, what was your anticipation level at?
I didn't even have one.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I wasn't even planning on watching this. I didn't want to give this movie any kind of notoriety, any money, nothing.
No support.
I wasn't seeing this movie. And yeah. I made that stand right after I saw BVS. Now, the only reason I went to go see it this time around is because my friend had scene points coming out of the wazoo.
The wazoo.
So all three of us
yeah.
were actually, we were treated
yes.
to this movie.
Yeah.
And that was the only, and she had asked you, she's like, hey man, are we going to go see Justice League? And you're like, I want to, but you got to talk to her.
And referring to you.
Yes. And then when she asked me, and I'm like, no. And then she came back to you. You told me, right?
Mm-hmm.
She sent you a message saying, I have points. If I got you guys a ticket, will Daff come?
Right.
And even then I had to think about it. But I'm like, you know what? I said I wasn't going to give it any money and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But why not an evening of escape?
Escapism. Superhero yeah. escapism. Yeah. And worst comes to worst, Batman is in it. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. Okay. So your anticipation and excitement for this movie was on the low.
Was non-existent.
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 Better. Okay. That's even more descriptive.
Yeah.
Mine was low as well. I was very disappointed with, obviously, BVS and Suicide Squad previously. Very happy with Wonder Woman, but it's a very different movie because it's a solo film.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about this, but how did you feel about Man of Steel as a solo film? I'm just referring to that because Wonder Woman I enjoyed a lot, and the previous movie to that I really enjoyed at the time of its release was Man of Steel. I enjoyed a little less now because of where they built off of it. So it looking back at it, it's like, oh, this is where things. This is the start to this thing that I hated. How did you feel about Man of Steel?
I liked it initially, parts of it.
Yeah.
What I liked about it was the emotional part. I love Jonathan. I love the father-son relationship, the devout family kind of
support system.
Right. Like, devoted to each other.
Right.
That's what I mean, devout, not spiritual devout.
Yeah.
That being said, and I thought parts of it were beautifully cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love seeing him in the water and a whale go by.
Mm-hmm.
I love, like, the Arctic scenes and, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And his physical struggle, you know, I think... I may have seen, like, you know, a young Clark Kent kind of discovering the powers that he has, but always seeing it in a bright light. Like, it's like, ooh, I can do this now. I could do that. But in this aspect, it was kind of like it was presented like a struggle. Mm-hmm. Like, hearing things was scaring him.
Yeah.
was, discovering things, kind of stumbling over these powers, but not knowing what to do with
yes.
them. And Jonathan, as much as you are a father and you want to be able to explain life's progression, he couldn't for him.
Right.
And that was his...
He was scared himself right. for his son. Yeah.
Right. But as much as I liked that, I felt that film went too deep into the serious, where it was a little... With subsequent watches,
mm-hmm.
it's a very kind of... depressing movie a little bit.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
And I can understand when people were like, whoa, Superman never smiled, Superman never... Well, the directors and the director and the writers didn't really exactly give him anything to be happy about.
Yeah.
So it was a sad... it was like the sad side of Superman.
Yeah.
Which in a way, I guess, kind of humanized him a little, but I never thought of Superman to not be human.
Yes.
And so, did I like it? Yes. Did I like it as much as I wanted to? As time went on, that kind of dissipated, but, yeah.
Yeah.
It was sad.
Yeah, initially... I really enjoyed it. I didn't agree with all of the harsh criticism it received. I saw that it wasn't... It had some things that were off-putting. I could understand why people would be bothered by some things.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it was handled subsequently in BVS, where I thought, we're going to address all of the things that were a problem in a storytelling way that will make this work. And will make us look back at this as this is his experience and this is what he's learned from, and he's never going to be that, make those mistakes again. But that didn't happen, right? It was still pretty careless, and certain things that Superman did were still very seemed cavalier, and you didn't ever feel this, who they killed in BVS,
mm-hmm.
you never felt the impact of it, because yeah, I'm
turmoil.
You've made me not like this guy,
right.
And made me doubt everything about him, or even his desire to want to save us. So it made me look back at Man of Steel and be like, ah, it's left a bad, like it doesn't progress better.
Mm-hmm.
I think I say this to you a lot. I don't know if I've said it on the podcast before, but something like Winter Soldier makes me like the first right. Avenger.
Yeah.
Captain America, the first Avenger, a little more.
There's an appreciation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Whereas that didn't happen with mm-hmm. Man of Steel. But I do like the solo DCU, the DCEU movies more than the ensemble movies.
Right.
Thus far.
Right.
So this is the big one. This is the big ensemble. They're introducing new characters that we've never seen yet. Different versions of characters that we're very familiar with. And putting them all on a huge epic battle, teamwork, and they've snuck it into under 2 hours to do it, which is an interesting choice.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other things to consider as well is that this movie, while it was being made, Zack Snyder and his wife unfortunately had to take time away from the making of the movie because of family tragedy, and Joss Whedon came in to finish it up. So I don't know how much of the tone or the screenplay was changed or reshot or what have you to get what was this guy's choices, what were that guy's choices. You know, were the things that I didn't like something that this guy did, and were the things that I did like something that the other guy had done. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I kind of experienced two different emotions while I watched this film. How do you have your thoughts organized there? How do you want to tackle this? Do you want to go through characters? Do you want to go through plot?
Whatever you think is best.
Okay. Let's go into the first, let's try the characters first, because there's a couple of new characters we haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start off with Aquaman. Because this is the first time you really see Aquaman spotlighted in a capacity where he's, you know, respectable and a badass, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Jason Momoa as Aquaman in the Justice League?
The physicality of him, I actually didn't mind so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Just the physicality.
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked his look.
You liked the look.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from what your typical Aquaman look is.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the short hair, blonde, blue eye kind of guy. But in the 90s, when all of the main characters like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, they were all being broken apart. Even Green Lantern, they all kind of made replacements for them, mm-hmm. mid-90s, mm-hmm. brought in an edgier look. They did the same with Aquaman, and he looks a lot like this version.
Mm.
He had his hand chopped off, so he had a harpoon hand, long hair, beard. So this look is not off of, like, where did they come up with this idea?
Right.
There's a substance to it.
But it kind of made sense to me a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. someone kind of, like, you think I don't want to sound ridiculous. Like, bohemian, like, beach boy kind of thing. Like,
Hawaiian.
Blonde hair. Yeah. No, not Hawaiian necessarily, but like someone that's a shore boy, you know what I mean? Like, the hair is kind of like sandy, messy looking. Almost like looking.
A Keanu Reeves Point Blank type of character. Like a beach bum.
Yeah.
Like, a surfer dude.
That's what someone would look like if all they do is be by water.
Yeah.
And it just looked like it connected.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree with you.
Which is why I didn't mind it so much. Now I understand that they paid some kind of homage to said character that looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked for me. I wasn't like, I wasn't thrown by it.
Mm-hmm. I like how you said that word. I think that's how everyone should say it. Because people usually say homage or homage. You said the H and the fans. Like, that's the way it should be said, people. Homage. You know what I mean? You blended it well. Well done. So, you like the look and the physicality.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of how he portrayed the character?
I didn't like that too much.
You didn't like that? Okay.
No. To me, it seemed like he was just like some... like, he's borderline alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Like, just very...
yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know how to say it. It was just... and when I think of people that play positions like Thor or Aquaman, like, kingly positions or ruly positions, or, like, even though they may not necessarily know what their role is quite yet, you grew up or are familiar with what comes along with that position. And I felt like he kind of, like, squandered that a little bit. Now, I know they alluded to the fact that he was kind of abandoned by his mother. Like, she kind of just left him on land and did whatever she needed to do and never looked back kind of thing. So, obviously, he has mommy issues. But if that's what the story, if that's what you're gonna even just hint at, I think that's why, and I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit. I think that's why I take issue with the fact that there were so many characters in this movie, yet their history wasn't exactly told fairly for an audience to be familiar as to why they're doing what they're doing.
And I think that is where the problem lies for a character, especially like Aquaman, where he doesn't really know who he is or where he's from. He has somewhat of an idea that there's something different about him, but he's figuring it out. And there is that one point in the movie where he kind of does his own monologue and expresses how he feels about his place in the world, not really understanding.
Oh, when he's sitting on the
lasso.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right. You're expected to accept something about these characters without any explanation.
And whatever explanation was given, I feel like it didn't give validity to the characters the way I think it should have.
Yeah.
Again, I'm gonna jump just a little bit.
We're gonna jump around all over.
Even the fact that Victor Stone, like, he has a tumultuous relationship with his father.
Mm-hmm.
And although they had that little spat,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, that little 5-minute spat,
mm-hmm.
I feel like there was just too much that happened for you to just be living in silence with this person. Like, I wouldn't be talking to you. I wouldn't be anywhere near you. I think there would be some kind of distance, some kind of, you know, not just resentment, but something a little bit weightier considering what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for him to have this disagreement, to then be willing to take a risk to go save him, and then by the end of the movie they're kind of like friends, it was just a little too, like, a father-son relationship is a very meaty, weighty thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Superman movie can get all the nags it deserves, but at the end of the day, what brings you back to that movie is the relationship between Jonathan and Clark.
And even Jor-El and...
And exactly. Yeah. And the sacrifice that he made as a father to make sure that he kept him safe and alive.
Right.
I think that's one of the things that saves that movie. And in this relationship between Cyborg and his dad, I don't think that's explored enough.
It's just very rushed. A lot of it's not fleshed out.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that everything has to be, like, every minutia has to be explained, but I think that's what I appreciate about Marvel. They paced themselves. They took their time. There was the Iron Man movies, and then there was, what other movies were there? There was the Thor stuff, and then there was Captain America. Then, you know, Hulk, as disastrous as they were, there was still something there. Like, people know something.
Mm-hmm.
Even Falcon had a backstory within the Captain America movie. So there's been an investment in these characters that I find, even as someone that is familiar with them, I didn't feel like it was satisfying enough.
Yeah.
And imagine a non-comic book, you know, viewer who kind of like, they're going to, oh, that's, like, they're just going to take it for what it is, right? And I just feel like it cheapened the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially from your perspective, because you have a little bit more of a... I mean, you're not one of those deep comic book nerds who know every last detail of how his armor works, but you have enough of a base where you could say, oh, this is what the relationship should be like. This is what his motivations are based on this experience. And I think that... I don't want to compare one to the other, but it's comparable because they're the same genre, right? You're talking about these superheroes and bringing people together with a combined continuity. They live in the same world. So you're taking these different movies and all these people are affected by the same events
mm-hmm.
in their lives. They live in the mm-hmm. same world. Now, with the Marvel movie, the one thing that makes it work is that there are events or things that people go through that they can all link back to. And usually in the Marvel universe, it's the first Avengers movie. They call it the incident, right? And everybody's been affected somehow by that attack on New York City that brought the Avengers together. Do you know what I mean? So... And it's referenced in Daredevil.
Right.
Hell's Kitchen is affected. The value of real estate has been affected by that.
Yeah, continuity brings such value to these characters and their story. And I think that's the one thing that DC cannot be bothered, at least with their auxiliary characters. Because they've done an origin story for Wonder Woman. We know Batman's story from the Christian... Chris Nolan movies, even though they're not related, like, people know,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Superman had his movie, but it's almost like, okay, we got the big three, and I'll just throw everybody else in there.
But it's not, they're never referencing, like, why did Cyborg, what accident was he
what
in?
What was it? Right? Yeah, yeah.
Refer to the fact that he got hurt during the alien invasion.
Like, but did they, though? Like, I don't remember. I feel like they should have, though. They must have. And maybe I missed it.
No, they didn't.
They really didn't.
There's an hour missing from this movie, right? That they edited out for the sake of fitting it under 2 hours. Ugh. So there's things missing. But what I'm thinking is there's a lot of things that they put in motion for the moment of these stories. Right. Superman's got to kill Zod. There's all this destruction in Metropolis. Legitimately, it's his first time being Superman. There's this alien invasion, and there's, you know, an army of Supermen in General Zod that he's got to fight. So, of course, the city's going to be destroyed. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
They start off BVS by showing Bruce Wayne go into the rubble during daytime and doing Batman-esque things, watching this and how his perspective is affected by it. But then they create these, they box themselves in by saying, okay, Batman's 45 years old. he's existed for 20 years already. There's no other superheroes in this universe until Superman shows up, right? Wonder Woman was around in World War I, but because she lost the guy that she's fallen in love with after a week,
she's become this recluse.
She's become a recluse for 100 years. And it just sounds so stupid when you bring them back all together and you have to refer to these things like, well, weren't you the guy who wanted him dead? Why do you suddenly want Superman alive? Do you realize that's dumb? Or who are you to talk, Diana? You've been hiding for 100 years because of a picture. Like, all of these different things that in the moment, it's like, okay, that's cool. But they to carry that on, it's like, man, that sounds really dumb now. Because they're not referring or linking these characters that you're not fleshing out with a commonality. Mm-hmm. So if Cyborg has been in an accident, why don't we say he was in an accident during the General Zod invasion and a mother box was unearthed at that time that Star Labs had, and they used that to, you know, that bonded with him during that time. That's an event that links them together.
I have so many suggestions for this movie. That's a good one.
Something.
That's actually really good.
How did Barry Allen become... We know because there's a television show, but...
But is that what DC's relying on then?
No, they're not, because this is a different continuity and universe, right? But I think that's... From what you're saying about Cyborg specifically, mm-hmm. I actually liked him in the movie. I didn't care that him and his dad didn't have a tumultuous relationship. It's fine. I saw that there was enough of Cyborg
having... Tension?
Enough of an embarrassment or a tension that he was like, look at me. Look at what's happened to me. But he didn't have to fight with his dad. What I did think was cool, side note, was that Cyborg's father is the guy who... was blamed for creating the Terminator. Which is a human cybernetic organism, as Arnold says. I thought that was cool. And another thing I just want to throw out there, Barry Allen's dad in this movie mm-hmm. played Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen, who Dr. Manhattan can manipulate time. And the Flash, with the Speed Force, can travel through time.
I thought
that connection was cool as well. And it's because of Zack Snyder. He's recasting people. But Batman's father, Ben Affleck's dad, Thomas Wayne, played the comedian in The Watchmen as well. And now he's Thomas Wayne. And Batman's worst enemy is a comedian.
Would you look at that?
Would you look at that? All these connective tissues. I thought...
Those little nuggets are interesting. That's fun.
I really did like Billy Crudup. That's the guy who played...
Cyborg?
No, Ray Fisher plays Cyborg, but the guy who plays Flash's father, Dr. Manhattan, in the other movie.
Can you not use real names? I don't know who these people are.
Sorry. Barry's father. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool. Because in the comic book world, Dr. Manhattan has messed up with the timeline in the DCU that caused the whole rebirth
Doomsday.
To happen. The Doomsday Clock. Bam. There you go. You're
impressed, aren't you?
I like it when you get geeky. So
you don't think that was necessary, huh? I just used him as an example. I'm not saying that he was the one and only story that I didn't appreciate. I'm just saying that I think DC took the lazy way out and didn't invest in their characters the way I think Marvel has. And that's why they're such a success.
Yeah, I like to blame Warner Brothers more than DC. Because when DC is in full control, like their animated movies, they do a pretty good job.
But why don't they like get their balls out of the back pocket and say, hey...
I don't know if I don't know the politics of Warner Brothers.
The template basically of this movie is the animated movie Justice League War. That was it right there. And it wasn't timely, it wasn't long, but it did justify proper storylines to explain certain things, and it was right there. And I don't understand why they keep getting it wrong or why they choose to take that like a shortcut that then diminishes the value of the movie that they're trying to tell.
I think that's the problem, is you just brought up the point, is that it's a movie that explains how they get together. They've gone a different route. So with what they wanted to do, they should have made Justice League first and said, all these heroes exist in this world and we're bringing them together. for this event. They exist. And then after Justice League movie,
Kobe,
where they introduce, like, these, all these people exist. You don't know where they've come from. We're going to tell you in subsequent movies. They're all going to get a solo feature. And then we'll tell you what happened in their story. But they didn't do that, right? So now they're, like we said, they're boxed into, oh, Batman's, this Batman isn't very, he's 45 years old. He's existed longer than, and just, you know, they've created this continuity that they've got to work with, where you're watching it now. It's like, wow, you're just, Martin Slam Duncan actually put it best at, on his podcast that we did. They're putting Band-Aids on Band-Aids. That it's like, we got to correct that. So put a Band-Aid on that. And it's like, that's not the way to fix it. It's like, how many, what does Sebastian Maniscalco say? How many Band-Aids are you putting on that thing? Right? That's what kind of feels like
they're doing. A whole box should last you a lifetime.
Yeah.
So can I just clarify before we continue? Yeah. Because I know I took it everywhere.
Yeah.
The way I'm sounding, folks, is not, I'm not trying to dog this movie. If you want to ask my opinion, I'm very much on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate it. I know it sounds like I'm hating on it. There are a couple of things that I think could have been improved, but I don't hate it. Okay, well, I just wanted to clarify. I just want to clarify.
You've got
to
be
because
fair.
Because I don't want anyone to say, oh, there she goes again, or it's a BVS sequel, review. It's not at all like that.
I do not want to spend time hating on anything. That's a waste of time to me. Right? Why would I go and watch something?
Right, but that's why I'm saying it. Because it could come off as though I'm being negative
about it. No, you're
being
fair. You're coming at it with your own fair critique.
That being said, 30 seconds in, I already found issue with it.
Uh-oh.
Found issue with it.
Let's get right into Batman. Let's just let you go on. But I know that you came here to talk about what they're not doing right with your guy.
There was just a couple of things.
Okay, now for me to say this
and for you to react like that, does that mean that you think I'm wrong, or do you think I'm being oversensitive? Like, why the reaction? Please enlighten me.
Okay, just so full disclosure, when we left the theater, I wish I would have had a mic recording you, because you were in a mood. And you were not happy with...
Okay, because those sons of bitches up there were pissing me off. They wouldn't stop talking. What is it with you people and not understanding that when the screen starts talking at you...
You gotta shut up.
It's your turn to shut up. I don't understand why people find this hard to understand. Can you explain that to me?
I don't know. I'm just happy that I go to the movies with you so that I don't have to be the jerk. I just wait. I just look at my watch and I said, I make a bet with myself saying, I'm going to give it 3 more minutes.
No, and I was trying to be a lady about it. I was trying to be a lady. I figured, you know what? It's the credits. I still want to know what's going on, what's coming up. But it's not necessarily the movies. And the lights aren't off. Mm-hmm. You know, people are still finding their
seats.
It's
the lights. It's the lights.
It is the lights. And I think I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to Cineplex. To suggest maybe they might want to take into consideration, you know, toning it down a little sooner than later.
You've been known to write strong worded letters. Has there ever been a change to your suggestions? You've written strongly worded letters to McDonald's to put extra tartar sauce on the Filet-O-Fish on both sides of the bun. You've written a strongly worded letter to who else?
I've opened a Twitter account but one time so I can tell TTC... where to go and where to stop, as a matter of fact. Okay? And then I deleted the account because I had nothing else to say. So again, I don't get it. And the movie now, like I said, I was trying to be a lady about it. So I just, you know, when you just kind of, you being petty just a little bit. So you start making like obvious, like, you know, you turn your head or you just look in a general direction and, you know, you're not ugly about it, but you're just trying to hint. You think these jackasses took the hint?
They didn't take the hint. They needed you to get up out of your seat. And I think part of the intimidation factor that you've got now is you're rocking this new leather jacket with the extra zippers. You look like a greaser from the 1956.
I got it. Maybe that helped. I don't know.
It helped. I think.
However, I was in the dark, so they didn't know what I was looking like.
Yeah, but you stand up and you got the belt buckle like jingling. Like it sounds like you're.
Like he was almost like he was not reiterating because that's repeating, but yeah, no, like he was reiterating every single scene
commercial and.
Yes, but once the movie started.
Oh, right.
He just commentary. So I said, enough is enough. And I turned around and I looked him in the eye and I said, I'm sorry, do you plan on speaking throughout the whole movie? And then quiet. Because I didn't turn around, he had nothing else to do but to actually apologize. Apologize under his breath. Sorry. Apologize under his breath. And I turned around. Then I hear you laughing. And then Jenny starts laughing right next to me. And then you start like, I knew you were going to say something.
Yeah,
and
I was giving you props.
Then I snapped on you because I'm like, stop talking through the movie. I'm tired of hearing everybody say something.
I was just reaching out to give you a pound. And then I was like, I don't want to talk to you either. Okay.
Because I had enough. Enough with this. And you know what? This is why I don't want to go to like opening nights and stuff. However, who said this to me? I think it was Slam Duncan that said it's the true hardcores that actually have respect for the movie. So like opening night, they're gonna stay quiet. They're gonna actually respect the movie and respect the people that are there so that they can appreciate.
Because they're all wanting the same experience.
Right.
Are we gonna start going with Martin Thursday night? I fall asleep. That's the problem. You'd stay awake. I'd fall asleep.
Yeah, it'd be a total waste with you there.
Yeah, I know. I'm a party pooper. Shall we get back to the movie? We go on.
What, do you have a problem with me telling people my movie experience and putting it out there in the universe that people need to be a little bit more conscientious of the people around them?
No.
Do you take issue with this?
I do not take issue with that at all because I know when the time comes, you're going to put them in their place regardless.
I shouldn't have to. Don't make me ignorant, people, because I can go there.
Shall we talk about Batman in this movie? Tell me what you loved about him.
Two things they got wrong 30 seconds in. What?
Tell me. I love it. I love it.
So there's a bad guy who's up there doing some shady stuff, right? What is so funny?
You're funny. So there's a bad guy.
There was just... What I'm trying to say is there was a couple characteristics that I think they got wrong. One, when you first believe that someone is there... Normally they're not, right? Well, Batman was.
Okay.
And I thought that was a little inappropriate.
You didn't like how he was...
No, first camera angle, he's there. It's supposed to be like he's not there really, but someone is. And do you know what I'm saying? Stop looking at me like that. You're pissing me off. I'm trying to like, figure out what I'm saying when you know what I'm saying. Second thing, the shady dude has a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pointing it, let's say, in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Batman go right in front of the gun? Batman would never do that. Batman is strategic. Batman most likely would have gone behind him, disarmed him from behind, maybe flipped him upside down, and then hung him by the side of the building. Maybe not in that order, but specifically so, I don't think he would have jumped in the middle of a gun where someone could have just taken him out just like that. It's just not smart Batman.
You like your Batman smart?
Yes.
I think that's a problem with this Batman.
I think they've dumbed him down in this movie, and I don't know if they did that on purpose, but it's insulting to me as a fan.
I think the one, again, this is reiterating the same thing again and again. Wonder Woman was the one character that they've gotten right.
She is the saving grace of this movie.
She's the saving grace of the universe, really. She's the one character they've gotten right, but it wasn't directed... By Zack Snyder. I don't really think he gets these characters.
Did you tell me? Did you say? Did you reply to anything I just said? Did you think about what I just said, or did you just skim by it? Like,
I'm building off what you said. You said this Batman is a little stupid, and I was like, so.
But I'm talking about the specific scenes that I brought up. Am I just looking to be aggravated?
I think in that. Specific
okay,
scene.
Okay, this is what I'm saying. This is feedback. That's why you asked me to talk.
I think you're picking nits with that particular scene. I thought that was one of the times he was being a little bit more like a Batman, where he's going after a criminal. and he's hiding in the shadows.
Maybe in year one, he would make little stupid things like that. But you're telling me he's been in business for over 20 years and he's going in front of a gun?
Well...
Or he's visible to the shady guy?
And here's the reason I don't have a real problem with that. Ugh. Here's the reason why.
Getting hot. Taking off the Snuggie.
Because if that was the worst thing he did, it would be good. If that was the worst of his mistakes as far as what Batman doesn't really do, I wish that was the worst of it.
But it's not.
But it's not. And that's why I'm like, eh. Out of all of the things to be upset with, that's the least of them.
Right, but okay, I see your whatever, and I raise you.
Raise me.
Like, if they can't even get the basics right, how can you trust them with everything else?
Because I think the basics, that's like one of those things where, depending on who's writing the character, Batman may go in front of the gun to show that you can't, he's not scared. Right, I'm not scared. A bullet won't hurt me. So it makes the criminal say, like, "Whoa, this guy's not even. He can't be human."
But it's just not. Fear is one thing, but Batman is one of the most smartest people in the world, mm-hmm. intellectually, mm-hmm. And all that.
Yeah,
clearly a couple grades more than myself, but that's what people like about the character, and it's. The obvious is, you know, he knows this and he knows that kind of martial arts and blah, 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 blah. But what's, at least to me, what's appealing about Batman is his mind. And I feel like it lacks in this movie.
Yeah. I don't think that particular thing is the biggest evidence to be like, well, look, this Batman's not smart, because what he was doing there was really just using the guy as a ruse to attract something else he was hunting. And I think... You forget all of the things that Batman may not be like, oh, that's not what Batman does. Fully fleshed out Batman. What bothers me is the things he does after that. That just are like completely... And I think... I'm not sure. But you know how there's that thing with these actors? These well-known actors like Robert Downey Jr. or whoever's playing Spider-Man. Or even Chris Evans. They're in the costume... But you have to see FaceTime. You have to see them be that character. Do you know what I mean? I'm wondering if that's the reason they've chosen to do certain things with Batman in these movies. I want to continue on your Batman crusade of things in this movie. Of epic fails.
I don't like that Batman apparently was like the front runner of initiating this team, because I don't think he would have done that.
That's completely wrong.
Batman works alone, or Batman has his Bat family, but again, he's been in business for 20 years. There's no one around. They alluded to the fact in the BVS movie that something happened with one of the Robins. Mm-hmm. And that's a touchy subject, so we will not go there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? His only family is Alfred. That's it. There's no reason why he should be putting together a team.
Going back to that first scene, that was something that really irritated me about Batman. The fact that he talks to Alfred. Batman would never say his name.
Never.
Never. He would give him a code name of some kind. In fact, he does. He calls him Penny One. Mm-hmm. Do you know? Like, that was something that was like, no, you don't say his name out loud. What are you doing?
And that was, you know what? But that wasn't the only time he did that. It wasn't just with Alfred's name. It was with his own name. Other people were just like, he just gave up that information. Just willingly. And I took issue with that in BVS. And I thought, you know what? They're gonna fix that, right? They realize that that's not appropriate.
You do not do that to my Batman.
And there they go with people around them, and it wasn't just the Batman character. It was Clark, take me away.
This Superman has no secret identity.
What the heck? Like, where is the sanctity of people, of the privacy? Like, that, as an audience member, it's a privilege to have that information. It's not just something that just gets thrown out there. And I feel like they've just pissed all over it.
Cheapened it.
I think if they wanted to, you know, put together a team, they could have done it in a more elegant and eloquent way. Seeing as Wonder Woman is the the thing between them. Like, she's the thing that kind of connects them all together.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially if Bruce has this guilting, whatever it is that he's feeling about why, you know, Superman died and it was his fault.
I agree.
Then she should have approached him and presented the idea of, like, you know what? Bad things are happening.
Yeah.
I can't do it alone.
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
This is what we got
to
do.
And even then, I believe the Batman that I would have liked to have portrayed, he would have hesitated.
He would have said no.
He would have said absolutely not.
And he would have been following them.
Oh yeah.
That's Batman. He would have been in every situation that they found themselves in and been monitoring it.
He would have acted like he had no interest, but he would have been right. He would have known about what was happening before they even did, kind of thing. You know what I mean? If, again, in BVS, he fell asleep at the wheel and had, a parademon dream.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, like, I'm just trying to make sense of the madness. And, and in this aspect, again, this is the Batman they chose to go ahead with. Fine.
But it's avoidable. That's the thing that's frustrating, is that all the points you're making is the reality you've created by taking Superman off the stage to create a Justice League as the motivation, it should not come from Batman. He should be the one saying, I'm done, I've messed up, I've allowed my emotions and my whatever to get the best of me, and look what I caused. The world is suffering now because I had a part to play in this guy dying. Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's at the point where he's like, I don't want anything to do with this anymore. I've lost them. Just leave me to my city, and I'm going to fix my city. And Wonder Woman, being the princess and the heir of Hippolyta and all of that, and having access to knowing what a mother box is and knowing the history of Steppenwolf.
Having been in man's world for how many years?
All of those things. Yeah. She's the one who's like, there's Atlanteans. Mm-hmm. I know about Atlanteans. There's these other files you've sent me about these other people. I'm going to round them up together and we form a team. Batman could be like, no, they're threats. No, we're going to make a team. We need you to join. I'm not joining a team. I'm not a team player.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sets maybe their first trap to see what they're all about, how they work together as a team. Do you know what? That's very Batman-esque. But it's not to say, like, oh, I could have written a better movie. It's just taking what you know about the characters and how they would operate, what would bring them together, who would be the catalyst to do these things, if not Superman,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if not Batman. And then Batman would come through and be like, okay, I'm the leader of this team because I'm smarter than you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a chess master. Here's what you've got to do. I may not be able to fight, but I'm going to watch from my satellite and tell you how to take care of these things. Because I'm a detective and I've uncovered all of these clues. Like, those things that... And I don't know if Warner Brothers... I really do think, for benefit of the doubt, what's wrong with these movies is more them saying, Ben Affleck is getting paid this much money to play this role. We need to see his face because that's selling the movie. So we need him to go around as Bruce Wayne and round up these people and give up his... And by doing so, it's like, but none of that makes sense, but we have to do it for the fact that we're paying this guy however much money we're paying him to play this
movie. But I'm not... Let me tell you something, though. If I'm hearing you correctly, I didn't pay to see Ben Affleck. I paid to see Batman. I paid to see Wonder Woman. I paid to see this fantastic world that I appreciate when they do what they do in the comics.
100%.
That's what I want to see. 100%. I want to see him. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Giving up people's identity and just showing up places and saying things about I'm rich and... throwing batarangs as Bruce Wayne to a kid. Like, no, that's privileged information. And if I think the way I envision it is that after the whole battle scene, at the very, very end, only then would he have revealed who he was to the teams, because then they would have proven to him that they are trustworthy, that they are the people they claim to be. And that, you know, like, Batman is very skeptical of people. He looks them over once, twice, three times until he really figures them out. And that would have been, to me, like, that would have been rewarding. You know what I mean? To be like, okay, this guy...
They didn't allow that to happen, though, right? Because of the way they've told their story thus far, they've already been like, okay, so in order for us to get here, now we've got to go this route. It's almost like their storytelling... They haven't plotted out where they really... They know where they want to get to, but the roads, they're like, oh, now we've gotten lost here. So in order for us to get back, we've got to...
Take a detour.
Yeah. So we're stuck taking this way instead of choosing the way we want
to
take.
I feel like I'm talking a lot. Is there anything you need to say about something?
No, I want to hear your take on it.
Me?
Yeah.
Just me? No, people are going to get bored. Say something.
You're the entertainment factor of this show.
Well, I'm more like a
Is there anything about Batman in this movie that you did like?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I liked when he said that Clark was more human than he was.
That was a good point. I like that.
That was a beautifully... That, to me, was a Batman...
That was bullseye.
Right there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yes.
The other moment, too, was when he said to the Flash, and the Flash is like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm usually just running fast and pushing people. And he's like, well, just save one.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very Batman
mm-hmm.
moment.
Yeah.
And...
It was respectable.
Yeah.
I could respect that Batman.
Yeah.
You know what
there,
I mean?
There's glimpses of it. Like, there it is. There's the guy. That's it. What's so hard about that? That's not... Like, why is he asking people if they speak to fish? Why is he telling people... I'm rich. Like, stop doing that. This is... You're cheapening this guy. What did you think of Barry Allen, the Flash character?
He was annoying to me.
He didn't grow on you?
No.
I didn't like his costume. I didn't like him at first. He grew on me, and I appreciated what he brought to the dynamic, but he's not Barry Allen. He's Wally West. You remember in the Justice League animated series... That Flash is always funny.
Yes.
He's humorous.
Yes.
That's how they played this guy out. But that's Wally West.
This is Wally West?
This is Barry Allen in the movie. He's playing it like Wally West.
Why is he doing that? Why do they do that? Why did they tell him to do that? Who are these people?
The directors, the producers, the writers. Right?
Look, I don't have anything against him. I just think he didn't look the role to me.
No.
He didn't fit it. He didn't.
You're right. I didn't buy it. He was Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looked almost more like a Nightwing, potentially. Like a young protege of Batman who would tell jokes in the middle of a fight to you know, bring light to the dark. That's something I feel like a Dick Grayson would do. But he played it more like Wally West. Always so, I'm really hungry, guys. I gotta eat. Is there any food around?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a bad time to bring up the fact that, you know, those are Wally West moments, which I was cool with. I'm like, all right, they're calling him Barry Allen because that's the legacy. And they're playing him like Wally West, which is everyone's favorite Flash. I'll let him live, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll live with it. I can go on with that. But I liked him more. He sold me with how much I disliked him from the trailer. Like, from the trailer, I'm like, why are they even trying to do another Flash? It was so upsetting because I like Grant Gustin as the Flash. But by the end of the movie, I'm like, I like him. I can let him
see, and I'm the opposite. I didn't hate him by the end the way I hated him in the beginning. And I say that loosely, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't, you know. But it wasn't enough for me to like him.
Okay.
I didn't dislike him as much as I initially thought of the character, but it wasn't enough where I could bite.
Okay.
I was just like, oh.
He's there.
Fine.
Right.
Whatever.
We talked about Cyborg. We talked about Flash. We talked about Batman. Gal Gadot still hits it out of the park. I think she's great. She plays the character really well.
She said something really cool, too. When she first, I guess... When she first, communicates with Cyborg,
mm-hmm.
And he asks her, can I trust you? Or I can't trust you. I don't know if I can trust you, kind of thing. And she said, if I wanted to kill you, I would have done it by the river.
When they were by Wayne Manor.
Wherever they were, walking by the river. Yeah. And you find out that Victor was listening to the whole thing and following them.
Yeah.
But it wasn't unbeknownst to her.
Right.
But then it's like, how come Batman didn't know?
It's weird choices.
Anyway, I'm not trying to bring up Batman again, whatever. They lost me. They failed epically with Batman's character. Mm-hmm. I disagree with everything that they did in that movie with him, but that's one thing that I did like. And I loved that they kind of... Where's my second stop at the end? I loved Paradise Island.
Again, yeah, those are
they amazing. Can't get that wrong. The only thing that I thought was a little sketch was all of a sudden these women, as strong as they were still portrayed, they looked a little less covered up than in the actual Wonder Woman movie. Yeah. Like they were more armored, covered, like, you know what I mean? And this time around they had like belly tops.
Yeah, yeah, a little more scantily clad. More like men directed the movie than women. That could be it. There was a criticism towards that as well when people were talking about the appearance of Amazons in the movie, saying it's clear that men directed it this time because they have them showing a little bit more than when they were originally in the...
That could be it. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know
for sure. But you can't pretend like you didn't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a noticeable difference.
And is it really necessary for them to, like, center in on a dead horse? Like, can we not do that?
Did it hurt?
It was the hardest thing to not watch. I couldn't. My head was down. It was like, poor thing. This is unnecessary. I think we understand that there's going to be fatalities in war, but we don't have to, like, make a scene.
Show the dead women. Stop showing me the dead horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were literally, like, cringing in your seat.
It's just, ugh. And I knew it. I knew it. I don't know. I'm getting more sensitive as time goes on with that kind of stuff. But yeah, no, the battle scene in Themyscira was pretty cool.
I just realized, as you mentioned that battle scene, we didn't even tell them what the plot of this movie was or what the motivations were for them.
We just went in.
We went in.
You told me. And no, then no. I went in like...
It's not your fault. We're talking about it and we know everything we're talking about, but we never... What did you think of the villain in this movie? That's something that is very important because the villain dictates a lot of the story, the villain you choose. Did you know anything about Steppenwolf?
I was going to call him Silver Spoon. I was going to say, I forgot his name. And I think that's a testament to how I felt about the character.
No connection. Right. Me neither.
Just seemed like someone who was like on a power trip, but it wasn't really his power. I thought maybe he was the main guy, but then they made mention of Darkseid once.
Yeah. He's Darkseid's uncle.
He's the uncle?
He's Darkseid's uncle, but he's part of like
Darkseid's elite. Well, he seemed like a minion. Like, right. He just came...
He's part of the family. But you're right. There's no like, oh, there he is. You know, like that guy. You know what I mean? Like Loki is a well-known, well-established villain of Thor's, but also of the Marvel Universe. You know, Red Skull. You know that Red Skull is appropriate to Captain America. Iron Man, I don't know his villains quite as well, but when they all come together, what was that about?
Wake up.
I am awake.
You were yawning.
Oh, pardon me. It's late in the evening. I can yawn, Missy. Steppenwolf, I just felt was a weak choice for villain. I would have just rather them, if you're going to skip ahead and make the Justice League movie right off the top, just put Darkseid in it. Just make them fight Darkseid.
Well, yeah, they're taking... Exactly. They're running amok, skimming the surface, or just trying to rush it with everything else, and now you just want to just mention the bad guy once and never have him make an appearance. I don't know. Like, it was just weird.
Yeah, it was... They were...
They should have taken a paper... A thing out of the war movie, the animated movie, where it was just the parademons all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, and then Dark Side, boom tube. That's it. Yeah. Did they show a boom tube? They did.
They were boom tube. So just a quick synopsis. An hour later, is Steppenwolf is trying to, the mother boxes have been awoken, and it's awoken Steppenwolf. Think of Thor, the Dark World, Malekith being awoken by the ether and the convergence taking place. So now he's back to reestablish his power. Steppenwolf is trying to collect the mother boxes. There were three mother boxes. They show a really, really cool flashback scene where initially the Atlanteans, the Amazons.
That was cool!
And men, and some of the even, they said even the Greek gods were fighting against Steppenwolf to stop him from, you know, creating this apocalyptic version of Earth. And they show a Easter egg of a Green Lantern. We don't know which one it was.
But they showed the one.
There's a Green Lantern core that was also helping in the fight.
That was great. That was a great scene.
Those little things there were like, ooh, is that a guy that's possibly, you know, a Shazam, someone that Shazam was using. The wizard chose him to use the power. Is that, you know, this Greek god? All those things were like, the universe is huge. Like, this is amazing.
They're expanding.
Yeah, they're expanding. So that was a really cool scene. So when he sees the mother boxes were, one was kept in Atlantis, and that's the hook for Aquaman. One was protected in Themyscira. So he goes to Themyscira, and there's this wonderful action sequence where they keep, it's almost like a relay race, where they keep running away from him and finding ways to defend themselves and throwing the mother box to each other. That was so spectacular. So in that's the villain in this movie. He's trying to get these mother boxes, put them together, and recreate this apocalyptic vision that he has in honor of Darkseid that you never see, and you only hear his name once. What did you said you weren't really a big fan of this guy.
No.
This villain.
Okay. No. He just seemed like he was...
Video game. I felt this was these characters were like lifted off of the Injustice video game.
Nobody had pores. There was just so it was very overly CGI. Yeah. Overly. The Superman's first scene gave it away. You said it was because he's in the middle of another movie and he had a beard
or a mustache or something.
But then wait for him to finish the thing, you know, his project. It'll give you guys enough time to get your act together and tell the story, and then do it right. And even Bruce Wayne, a couple of times he looked over CGI, like his upper lip wasn't moving or it was gone. It was just weird.
The CGI, you're right, it did take you out of it a little bit. One character we haven't discussed yet is Superman.
Oh, he was barely in the movie, so why would we even talk about him?
I don't know if you're on the fence.
I don't know. You know what? As soon as I saw your face, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe that's not the case.
Did you like how he was portrayed in this movie? I'll go out first.
Please.
And say I liked his return in the sense of this is Superman who's brighter. He's smiling. His suit is blue. His cape is red. He's happy to save people. And I felt like that was one part where, like, okay, we've born again, and this is Superman who's happy to be Superman. And I was really happy with that. I really enjoyed when he showed up in the last battle, and you hear the John Williams little bit of music from the original sort of that I
got. It was very subtle.
Very subtle, but it was there, I kind of bounced in my seat like a little kid. I got really happy about that. They did the same thing for Batman, which I really liked. The Danny Elfman. He did the score for this movie, actually. So I really liked those little nods to the past.
Yeah, very good. I agree.
And I liked seeing the Justice League all try to tame a resurrected Superman who they use with the Mother Box and the Flash of Speed to spark the Mother Box.
See, when you say the Justice League, that should also include Batman, and he wasn't there.
He wasn't there, but he...
Go ahead. I'm going off.
He shouldn't have been there, but...
No, you know what? He shouldn't have been there. The way they wrote this movie, this is a Batman that realistically, although I know it's fictitious and all of that, the way they wrote this movie, it just seemed like it was unreasonable for him to even be in this movie. He had no business being there. And as much as you wanna, like you've mentioned to me, oh, the Christian the Chris Nolan movies are, you know, they boxed themselves in because there was no other superhero. It was just Batman and that's it. No other universe, no other collaboration within it. There was something purposeful about Christian Bale's Batman in that world. You know what I mean? He served a purpose. He was able to level himself against those villains, even ones that were physically and mentally stronger than him.
So,
but in this movie, I know he kind of addressed it when he told Flash, like, you and me are the only ones that are just people. Mm-hmm. Okay, good that you recognize that. But when a battle actually happens, you're the only one that pussies out. Like, where are you? What are you doing? It was just Wonder Woman. It was just Aquaman. It was just Cyborg. And even, was Flash even there? Flash was there. Batman disappeared. What did he go do? I assumed, and I was right, he went to go get the big guns. And he went to go get Lois Lane, who just outed his identity. And, you know, all of a sudden that brings back the rabid horse. And mm-hmm. or the, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it just...
Ugh. I really like that scene, though.
I'm not saying I don't like the scene. What I'm saying is, you said it yourself. The Justice League took down Superman or went head-to-head with Superman. A part of the Justice League, isn't it supposed to be the one putting them all together? Where was he? That's my argument.
But this is the thing. There's inconsistencies with Batman that I feel Wonder Woman makes reconciliation for. The fact that she's there. Because of the things I don't like about him, she kind of makes up for it for me. Because she goes head-to-head with Superman and he headbutts her.
Because she can.
She can, but what I'm saying is this Batman is so inconsistent in his motivations that it takes you out of it if you focus too much on him. Because
the people that put the movie together made him the thing to focus on. Right. He's the one that's been told, or we're being told that he's the one being responsible by putting this team together. It's his idea to bring back Superman. So you're supposed to tell me that I'm just supposed to ignore that?
I agree, because in the last movie, he went toe-to-toe with the guy. He had a kryptonite spear, kryptonite mist, all this other stuff.
Like, I just feel like in this movie, he has no business going up against Doomsday, Darkseid, or even Superman himself.
But you could say that, and you're right.
You're mentioning all these people that really and truly, he goes away and disappears from going against them.
He can. This is the thing.
I know he can. The way they wrote him,
though. The way they wrote him,
it makes him unreasonably...
inept.
Yes. Thank you for finishing my sentence.
Yes. I saw you thinking of that word you wanted to use to conclude your thought. That's why we're a team. I did like that scene, though, in regards to the tug of war, the Superman being angry, the nods to, like, the fact that he references, like, you couldn't let me live, and even in death you would have let me rest. Like, I like
that. That was good.
I like that they reference. I like that they referenced the obvious elephant in the room of, like, what is your problem?
Yeah.
You know, that I did like, which helped me to say, okay, they recognize this Batman is emotionally inconsistent.
But that being said, though, I feel like they're just drawing straws at trying to make an issue out of nothing.
Band-aid because over band-aid,
the thing
right?
that you brought that brought them together was Martha.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think then that Superman would have just thrown the spear as opposed to impaling it into Doomsday with him attached to it. That didn't make any sense to me, but whatever.
It's them trying to get moments and again, right, what we were talking about before, they want him to die, but they haven't earned the meaningful death. But in order to get to that point, they ignore all the stupidity that they've created. Like exactly what you said, he could have thrown the spear. Wonder Woman could have put the spear in him. It didn't have to be Superman, right? But they haven't made something coherent that makes sense. It's more like...
And I'm not sure why it's... Explain it to me. I know. But I'm not exactly sure why it's totally Batman's fault that Superman died when he's the one that kind of took action and decided to touch this kryptonite spear. What, like, what's his hard on with Batman? Like, why are they fighting in this movie? I want to know, because I'm confused.
Because
I thought they buried the hatchet when he saved his mother, and, you know, they're like, I got her, don't worry, kind of thing. And when Batman is fighting side by side by Superman in the last movie, you're thinking they're on the same team. So please enlighten me. What was burning now?
I guess because the last real confrontation that he had with this character was him trying to kill him, right? He made it his life mission to...
Yes, but then Martha happened, and they were fine.
His memory's not there. I don't know what to tell you. It's incongruent.
But this is why I take issue with this particular movie.
I don't get me wrong. There's problems with it because the other ones created them. And they have to get themselves out of a hole in explaining these things. That's the biggest problem with this movie. Is that...
So the problem with this movie is that really there wasn't any problem. They were just making it up?
No. The problem with this movie is that they've created a narrative that they've got to now explain themselves out of in order for things to work properly or for the characters to be represented properly. But a lot of times their answers are so reactionary to, oh my goodness, everybody hated the fact that they fought in Metropolis. So now in this movie, when there's a legitimate bad guy who wants to destroy the world,
let's go to Russia.
Let's go to a place where one apartment building exists and one family exists, and we save them and we show that no casualties are lost, which is not the answer. That's not what the problem that people had. It wasn't that. It's the fact that there wasn't... See, in the Avengers, I don't like making the comparison, but I have to. The Avengers, when they fought in New York City, people died. But they recognized the fact that we have to limit casualties. We have to take the fight this way. We've got to... You stand there, you cut them off.
They address the elephant.
They address the fact that people are getting hurt. We gotta save the people.
But that's also, but that was also written for them in the comics. Civil War was based on the fact that innocent civilians died.
Exactly.
And that's what started the whole...
Exactly. Right? And that's what the...
So the script was written for them.
Exactly. But in Man of Steel, it wasn't just that... Oh, we were ignorant to the fact that he didn't acknowledge Superman trying to save people. It was just they fought without any consideration to the surrounding areas. Like, there wasn't that recognition. Whereas now, it's like, let's go make them fight somewhere where nobody lives except for one random apartment building of people and one home. Right? So it's like... We get it. You're trying to show us that you learn from your mistake. But you didn't, because the point is you got to make the characters care about the people. That's the point.
Do you have any change? Because I don't have any tokens for tomorrow.
That is a wonderful question to ask. But I don't. I'm sorry.
So what am I going to do?
We'll figure something out. I love that that's in the podcast. Everyone's going to want to adapt, Jay. Get to work the next day, okay?
I think I have some change in my Batman piggy bank, though.
There you go.
But they're all quarters.
It's okay. It's still money.
I know it's still money, but everyone just looks at me. Everything's clinking and they...
That's like, you just put 10 dimes in.
Anyway. What were you saying?
Oh,
okay. Based on that, another thing that I liked. Mm-hmm. They made a little snarky, hey, let's race. In the movie.
Snarky?
Yeah, in the movie. Didn't they say something like that? Like, I'll race you there or something stupid? I forget.
Yeah, they. It was a good nod. Tip of the hat to that. I liked that a lot.
I liked it. I thought it was very...
That was good.
It was very organic.
Yes.
It just happened.
Yes. That was very good. There was a lot of moments in this movie that I enjoyed and liked and I smiled and I had fun. There was a lot of things that irritated me, but it's because... It was reminding me of previous things they did. And I'm not...
That they did wrong. And that they keep on doing.
And it's just the fact, like, you can't... Martha, you can't be talking about the world needing your son. Because in the last movie, you said
You don't owe them anything.
Exactly. Like, you can't make that statement now. Just, it's almost like, if that's the character you want me to buy into, just make them that all the time. And I'll know, okay, this character feels this way. You can't suddenly change them. You can't suddenly make Batman love Superman when you made me waste 3 hours watching him hate him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the problem. I don't have a problem with Batman being the one to resurrect Superman. I think that is right. But in this version, it's not, because you've wasted all this time he had a hate on for the guy. You know, it should have been Wonder Woman going to Themyscira and bringing his corpse there or something like that, you know? I don't know.
Hey, you know what else I liked?
What else did you like?
I liked the parademons.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What did you like about them?
I liked the look of them.
You liked that they were buggish?
Yeah. That's what they're kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they look like in war.
It kind of reminded me of their little history about how, like...
They kind of remind me of
you're going to say what I have in mind. You go for it.
The Demogorgon.
What? No.
No, they did. They kind of reminded me of the Demogorgon.
The Demogorgon.
From Stranger Things. It.
They reminded me of the orcs from Lord of the Rings. How they used to be elves. And then they were turned into...
That's so sad. I didn't like that scene. It was so sad. I think more because whatever species they were working on, it was... Oh, no. That's war.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Because they took species from other planets and then they made them into thing.
Yeah. That... You're right. It was in war.
But didn't they... But they did it in this one too, right?
I think they took, like, the different Atlanteans and, like, different races of people.
Hey, what'd you think of... Was that Mara?
Mira,
sorry?
Yes, it was.
I liked her.
I liked her too. I'm interested to see what story they tell for Aquaman. Because this is the thing that I was saying with Martin on his show, was his whole arc of him gaining the throne is an epic within itself. So for him to dive down into Atlantis and encounter Mira
with his ripped jeans.
With his ripped jeans, and for her to say, "Oh, look who it is. The so and so just decides to return." And the next time you see him, he's got the regalia of...
Yeah, did something happen between them here and there?
Right.
Is there going to be a movie told in between a span of 20 minutes? Like,
that's exactly it, right? How are you going to tell that story for it to make sense? It's hard to... I don't know. I'm interested, but it's going to be hard to figure out how they do that. What else did you like from this movie? Anything else? Radio silence.
Oh, yeah.
Would you watch it again? I have more desire to watch this one again than I do for Suicide Squad or BVS. I would watch this again. And I would imagine
that... You know what? I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Because I would. I haven't even seen BVS since it came out in its entirety. I think I've mentioned it on the podcast, and you definitely know this. The one and only time that I did put in the BVS movie that you purchased because I said I didn't want it in this house, when I did put it in and just forwarded it to the Wonder Woman part,
mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that I acknowledge in that movie. But... Again, I say, like, you know, it sounds like I have this hatred for this movie, and I have a strong dislike about certain character portrayals, but I don't... That's why I say I'm on the fence, right? Because mm-hmm. there are things that I did appreciate, that I did like, that I did enjoy, and it was, in a way, fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was stupid. A lot of it was stupid, but some of it was fun. And I think I would watch it again.
That's fair. I think this is a movie that shouldn't have been cut down to 2 hours. I think the extra half hour was necessary.
I think this is a movie that needed prequels before this came out.
Yeah, you're right. That, I think you're absolutely right. It's... I think there's a lot you could build off of and do right with this. I'll just be interested to see how they go about doing it. I don't know how they're going to go about doing it. Did you like the post-credit scenes with I like that they referred to the actual race between Flash and Superman.
Would have been good if Batman was there.
I would have died. Like, what are you doing here? Like, I'm Batman. Yeah, that's a meme.
Or even just him in the background. Maybe not necessarily, like, being in the on the road path, but just him in the background. Like, what is he doing back? What is he planning? You know what I mean? Something cocky.
You always want Batman in it. All the time.
You know what I would have appreciated? If instead of, like, stammering like an idiot when Superman said, I thought you didn't like me or something like that. Right?
Well, what should he have said?
Well, he shouldn't have, like, fumbled over his words. That whole abadi abadi, what is he, Porky Pig? Like, get your act together. This is not what you do, man. Yeah. You know? But
you want to just get in there and shake him.
I think the Batman I would have liked again portrayed, he either would have been like, I don't like anyone, and walked away. Or he just would have walked away. Like, something Batman-esque. And I feel like they crapped on his character. And you know what I heard? What I heard or you said or something, but that Ben Affleck doesn't want to play him again, and I don't blame him. If this is the kind of, you know, crap work that they're going to give him to do, I'd walk away from it too.
Yeah.
I think the Ben Affleck is a Batman fan, right? He is a fanboy. Yeah. In a way. Am I wrong? Yeah. Am I right?
No, you're not saying anything. You're right.
So, I mean, that's kind of...
I do feel that it's not his fault. He looks like the best Batman ever. The physicality of him is so on point.
And I hate that he made him so old. I don't think he needs to be that old.
Yeah, I think that's a poor choice, too.
What's the Flash going to do when... You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just... And I guess... It's not just Batman that I'm disappointed with in this movie. I think that's just the majority of my disappointment. But it's a lot of the characters that I feel like they just missed the mark.
Except for Wonder Woman.
She, like I said, she's the one that's saving this whole thing, but...
Every time she's on screen, it makes everything
a bit better. But like I said, if you're going to put Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman on the screen...
Do it right.
Do it.
Yeah.
Like, show up.
Shall I dare ask you what you score this movie at?
Low. Like I said, I think it was entertaining. There are things that I liked, but it's so... I'm so on the fence with it that I really don't know how I would score it. Because I feel like if I score it a 7, I feel like it's too high. I feel like if I score it a 4, it's still too high, but insultingly low. Insultingly low.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's almost like, why are you even scoring it if you're going to give it something like that?
Can we give it a 2.9?
Hey, man. Make fun of me. Yeah, I wouldn't know what to give it. You?
I gave it a 7 when I reviewed it with Martin. Because I did have fun. There were problems that I had with it, many of the ones you mentioned. I'm aware of them. Thank you. I have a good hairdresser. Mm-hmm. I had fun when I left the theater, and because my expectations going into it were low, which is stupid. Like,
right. Okay, I hear you.
You know, like, I went in expecting something I was really going to hate.
So you were pleasantly surprised.
I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't love it, but I would
definitely... But it wasn't what you thought it was going
to
be.
It had a lot of...
That's good. That's a good feeling to have.
Yeah. And it kind of... It's frustrating a little bit because I don't like feeling like... Well, I expected it to be a big pile of dung, you know. I don't want to go into anything that I like expecting garbage and then being happy when it wasn't horrible the way I expected it. Do you know what I mean? I hate that it's kind of come to that, but I did enjoy seeing them all together. I kind of felt like I was watching a Justice League classic cartoon. Couple things I didn't like about what they do with the characters, but... I think that's with the table that they set in the past, I think they gave me the best meal they possibly could right now. And Wonder Woman is a very refreshing to see on screen. I'm happy that Superman's smiling.
She has a beautiful scream. Yeah. And I mean that not like not like sexist or physical, like it, like she looks like she means it when she's coming at you with that sword.
Right.
But it's not like ugly. Yeah. You know how people like ugly cry? Mm. I'm one of those people. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm not pretty when I cry.
Who's pretty when they cry?
Some people are. They have that on screen. You're not ugly when you cry. One tear down the cheek.
You're not ugly when you
cry. I hyperventilate. I get red and snotty. It's not a good look. But she has this thing, or like, you know, when you and me have it out, like, when people get ugly when they're angry, but she doesn't look like that.
No.
She's a very pretty lady.
Yes. Yeah. She does it justice.
Pun intended.
And, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I'm in between a 6.5 and a 7, but I'll be... I crapped on BVS so much.
So what, you're trying to, what's it called? Starts with an R.
Reconcile?
No. What's that word now?
Consolate?
No.
I'm not sure.
Like, you're trying to make up for it.
Reconcile.
That's not the word.
No?
No.
Retribution?
No.
Restore?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
I'm not sure.
So will you feel guilty?
No. I want to be positive. It's not that I feel guilty at all.
Are you turning in a leaf, Eric Anthony?
No, not at all. I'm very comfortable with the person I've become and disliking the things I dislike, but I don't need to put that energy out there. If I don't like something...
Are you going to finish that? It's expensive stuff.
Oh, I thought it was finished. Like Martin said, I'm going to go... We've talked about this, me and him, before. He goes, there's lots of things we don't like. Did you just... You just finished... Daphne J just chugged the rest of the remaining Jack in the bottle. And now she doesn't know what to do with herself. You're gonna start... Now you know why I was yawning before.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's...
good, though.
It's good. It is very good.
Disgusting.
It's good. Ugh, it's disgusting.
It has... It's the Tennessee honey.
Yeah, that's right.
I can taste the honey.
Yeah, it's good.
On my lips.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, I give it a 7.
I'm sorry, you were talking.
All I said was that there's no need for me to be continuously negative, because I always bring up BVS and I go on my tirades about it. And I guess
there's,
you know,
room enough for just one of us tonight.
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah. I let you go on here.
I was the bitter bug.
So you're about a 5. That's the fence, right? You're 50-50. You like it, you don't like it.
Fence?
5 out of 10, 50%.
4.5.
2.9. That was my favorite. All right, Daph J. Well, Aquaman will be next, and The Flash. We never did a Thor.
No.
I never did a Thor. Should we do a Thor another time? Would you do a Thor?
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay. That's an interesting one, too.
If you want me back.
This is your house. You're not coming back to it. You live here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It was been a lot of fun, Daph J. I always love talking to you about this stuff and seeing you get impassioned about it, especially when Batman's involved.
That's the thing. I'm very passionate. This is a perfect, perfect explanation. Thank you for justifying my action.
And that's why you're this is where you live. In the Cave of Solitude, right? Where can they reach us, do you know?
CaveOfSolitude@outlook.com.
Nice. As well as Facebook.
Test me again. One more time.
What's our Instagram account?
Cave_of_solitude.
Very, very nice. There you go. Leave us an iTunes review as well, because it always helps when people listen to the show. If you like an episode, leave an iTunes review. It helps us get the show out there as well. We are at episode 101. It's been a blast. We are moving into bicentennial era now. Gonna get to 200 faster than we got to 100. And I'm looking forward to the adventure, Daph J.
What are you doing?
I'm hearing you write extra notes.
Yeah, because my mind keeps going.
All right. Do you have anything left you want to say about Justice League?
Can I just give a public service announcement? Yeah.
Well, you get the last word. Go ahead.
to all you schmucks out there, please, please, when you go see a movie, just know that there's other people that want to enjoy it just like you do. So please keep your comments and your hands and feet inside the chair at all times. Peace out.